Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And we're now within a month of two major American sports. Well, one, restarting the NBA, and then another one, starting Major League Baseball. We're within a month now. At the end of July, that will happen. And then, at that point, NFL teams should be in training camp. And yesterday, there was some news made out of the NFL. They said that the first eight rows in every stadium will be covered up. And there's still so many questions. They will be covered up because they don't want any of their players, their coaches or referees or anybody on the field to catch COVID-19 from anybody in the stands. And on the covers that go around the stadiums in the first six rows, advertisers will be able to advertise. They'll be able to put their logos, and if they have sayings or whatever the case may be. Now, again, that's if there are fans in the stands at all, because the NFL also announced that that's going to be up to each market, to each city, to decide if they're going to let fans in. If they do, how many? 50%, 25% capacity, whatever the case may be. And here in New Orleans, if that's the case, if the NFL is leaving it up to the local leaders, here in New Orleans, there's going to be no fans in the stands, because our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTaxta, LaTweeta, LaToilet, Cantrell, she's already said she doesn't want any big crowds until 2021, the calendar year 2021, next year. So if and when football does start playing, and the NFL plans on playing, it's going to be up to the different cities, the different markets where the teams play their games. It's going to be up to the leaders there to decide if there's fans and then how many of them. But anyways, they decided that they're in every stadium, the first six rows will be covered up. And then advertisers can advertise on top of that covering.
I like that idea, because I'm quite sure that the advertisers that pay for the covering that compensates for the lack of ticket sales or something that the NBA, that the any sports NFL would be lacking.
Well, to be honest with you, Coleman, those seats are already sold in every NFL stadium. I guarantee you, every one of those seats are already sold here in the Superdome. They're already sold everywhere. The first eight rows.
So if they were to allow fans in, those people that sat in those seats that had the tickets, would they just move them eight rows back from their original seat if they were?
That's it. That's a good question. I don't know what's going to happen with the people in the first eight rows. How are they going to move them just back? Because the ninth row is in pretty much every stadium is sold out. The 10th row is sold out. The 11th row. But people that have ninth row tickets in the Superdome, I mean, even though chances are they're not going to be able to go to games anyways because of LaTaxta, They were happy when they heard that yesterday. I don't know where they're going to put the people that had tickets in the first eight rows for the stadiums in the cities that let fans show up. Again, I don't anticipate that happening here in New Orleans with this mayor that we have here. And over in England, you know, soccer is huge, and they still can't have fans in their stands. But what they did, this is how big soccer is in England, the Premier League. This is how big it is. They let their ticket holders pay money for their seats still, even though they can't go to the games. Yet the ones who paid money could put cardboard cutouts of themselves in the seats. And a lot of people, Coleman, have done that. Can you believe that? Spending money for that? A lot of people have done that. But at one game the other day, at a Leeds United game, somebody put a cardboard cutout of Osama bin Laden in one of the seats. And boy, the team wasn't happy about that. British soccer team apologizes after Osama bin Laden cutout appears in the crowd. You know, the cameras were going through the crowd of cardboard cutout fans, and one of them looked awfully familiar. They went back and they said, we didn't know Osama bin Laden. A, was still alive. B, had tickets to come to our games here at Leeds United, at our team. And so,
now, how ironic would they be to go find the fan that had the Osama bin Laden cutout, and they knock on the door and they open it, and he really looks exactly like Osama bin Laden?
Wouldn't that be something?
Right, like, no, that really was a cardboard cutout of myself. But better than the South Korean people that had the sex dolls in the stands with the face mask off. We was watching that the South Korean baseball league. Remember, we was watching that at your house?
Yeah. So those tickets sold for $25 each, euro.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could put a cardboard cutout of yourself or maybe somebody else who you like, but not Osama bin Laden, as someone did. But that would be something if the guy looked just like him. All right, coming up on the show, the head of the New Orleans Police Union sent a letter off saying that at least one of our officers has COVID-19 and he was working the protests. Whoa, wait a minute. And now they want every New Orleans police officer, the union does for them, wants every New Orleans police officer tested for COVID-19. But I bet you that news shook up the mayor and the doctor here in New Orleans, who said that, even though we have rising COVID-19 numbers here in New Orleans, it had nothing to do with the protests and the protesters. It had nothing to do with the thousands of people walking the streets of the city of New Orleans. Well, as we said on the show yesterday and on Facebook, on the radio station's Facebook page, I said, that's a bunch of crap to jump to that conclusion. How could you do that? And we'll have more on that. And we have a big See Who Died today in the city of New Orleans. And we have a lot of things we're going to do. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Yesterday, the Dixie Chicks announced they are no longer the Dixie Chicks. They are now just the Chicks. they're removing Dixie from their name. And, you know, I'm a feminist. And as a feminist, I don't know if I'm happy with their name, the Chicks. That offends me to call women chicks.
You think so? I thought your skin was tougher than that, John.
Well, when I was younger, Coleman, I used to call women girls. You can't call them girls anymore. I used to call women chicks. Really can't call them chicks anymore. I mean, and then as I got older, I became a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
And the chicks, I've got the list of things here that are offensive to feminists. Being called chicks is
a long list.
Yeah, yeah. It's an immense list I got here in front of you. This is longer than a CVS receipt. But as a feminist, chicks, isn't that derogatory? And I guess if the Dixie Chicks are removing Dixie from their name, they would be chicks without dicks.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so they announced that yesterday. That's the first time I heard their name in a while. Some are saying that they just wanted to make themselves relevant again. Because remember, they were really popular. And what ended their career as they knew it was when they were overseas, when we were having our dust-up with Iran when George W. Bush was president. And they ripped George W. Bush overseas during our conflict with Iran. And that's something that the country did not appreciate, the majority of the country. I think they, because they're from Texas,
mm-hmm.
and George W. Bush is from Texas. And Natalie Maines, their lead singer, said something like how we're embarrassed to be from the same state that he is and we don't agree with what him, blah, blah, blah. And an American ripping the country or ripping the president during wartime while they're overseas, while they're not on our turf, that's not very popular. It's not a popular thing to do.
Well, back then, now, trust me, you'll be praised if you went overseas and ripped the president.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Coleman. So that pretty much ended their careers as they knew it, and they hadn't. I don't know. I was never the biggest Dixie Chicks fan anyway, so I'm not an expert on their work. But they haven't made a whole hell of a lot of news. And then yesterday, all of a sudden, they popped up in the news and people are talking about them. And this is, I mean, it seems now on a daily basis, more and more names are changing. We last week, we talked about Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth and Uncle Ben's and
Lady Antebellum.
That country group, Lady Antebellum, they're now Lady A.
What's funny is like the Dixie Chicks are changing their names to the Chicks and Lady Antebellum is changing their name to Lady A because they don't want to offend black people. But how many black people actually listen to their music or even knew they existed?
Well, yeah, but they still, that's a good point. They still want to do their part. Winn-Dixie may be next.
Uh-oh.
The grocery store, the supermarket chain, they announced yesterday that they're probably going to be taking Dixie out of their name. I don't know if Winn-Dix would work with them or what they're gonna call themselves. And I wonder what that means for Dixie Beer, which just made a comeback. Before he died, Tom Benson and his wife Gail Benson, they bought Dixie Beer. They got the big new facility over there in New Orleans East where they're brewing Dixie Beer again. I'm a fan of Dixie Beer. I wonder they haven't said anything yet, but I wonder if I don't see them changing their name.
They're
proud to be in the land of Dixie.
I was trying to figure out why the name Dixie is so offensive because it doesn't seem to have any racial connotations or anything, but it's just a nickname for the South.
Just the South.
Right. So at some point, are we going to change the word South to something else?
That could be coming.
Oh, man. This is... wow.
Yeah, that could be coming. I remember Dixie Cups.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to change your name. And not just that, Now, there are some Americans who are calling for a new national anthem.
Okay, I have to admit, I've been calling for a new national anthem, not because I found it offensive. I just wish we could just rock it out and remix it. You know, make it modern.
You want it to have more of a beat or rocking more?
Yeah, yeah. South Park had it, you know, when they did the Team America movie.
The reason why some Americans now are calling for a new national anthem, because Francis Scott Key wrote the poem called Defense of Fort McHenry back in 1814. And that poem later served as the lyrics for the Star-Spangled Banner, the national anthem, which became the official national anthem of the United States in 1931. So there was a long time between when he wrote that poem in 1814 until it officially became the national anthem in 1931. Why do some Americans want that scrapped as our national anthem? Because of Francis Scott Key's ties to slavery. He was a slave owner, and he defended slave owners' rights to own human property. And so because of that, in this time where we're at in our history in America, the awakening, or call it whatever you want to call it, people want that not to be our national anthem anymore. And there's a lot of Americans who want the song Imagine by John Lennon to replace it. Now, I don't know. You're going to have to go through Congress, through the Senate, you're going to have to go through Washington, D.C. to get them to officially change the national anthem. So we'll see. But this is what we're...
Once again, if we're trying to eliminate that has something to do with slavery, we have to start at the beginning with Egypt and the Great Pyramid of Giza and the Sphinx and all that, because, you know, that was all built by slave hands. So we might as well start from the beginning, go all the way to scratch, to the foundation of humanity.
Well, Coleman, I think Americans want to focus on here, on what's going on here in the United States of America.
Oh, that's why they still have slaves in South Africa and the Boko Haram and all that.
Yeah. Well, as you just mentioned it, we brought it up on the show. As we speak right now, here in June 2020, there are slaves in different parts of the world, and that's going on right now. But I think Americans want to just try to control what's happening here. But that's the latest in name changes, and I just wonder how long this is going to continue and how many more things that people are going to be wanting to change their name. Coming up on the show, the head of the New Orleans Police Union wrote a letter yesterday saying that one of the New Orleans police officers tested positive for coronavirus, and he was working the protests. And those same protests where the lead doctor here in New Orleans and the mayor of New Orleans said that those protests didn't spread coronavirus at all. I mean, thousands of people walking the streets of New Orleans, not all wearing masks, many weren't. And it was interesting to me, we talked about it yesterday, how they knew, the mayor and the lead doctor here in New Orleans, oh, you can't trace any of the coronavirus back to the protests. Well, how do you know that? Well, they didn't know that. That seems to be a political line that is going on in city after city after city after city, how they're all just saying, oh, the protests had nothing to do with coronavirus, yet keep your business closed. Thousands of people can walk in the streets, but keep your business closed because we don't want you to make money. So that was bizarre. That's coming up. Now, all of the New Orleans cops want to be tested for coronavirus. Stay tuned for that. Lot to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. According to a new study, people working less slows climate change. So next time you see a bum, please take a moment to say thank you. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And our country is extremely polarized right now. You know, I'll never say, boy, this is the worst it's ever been in our country. I mean, because we did have the Civil War, you know, Abraham Lincoln then was shot and killed. We've had some tough times in our country's history. And if you've listened to this show, you know I've always said that I love the United States of America. I love my country. I think we're the greatest country on planet Earth by far. And are we perfect? No. No, I mean, like, we see what's happening right now with police officers, and I can't stress this enough. Most cops are good. You have to think 98%, 99% of cops are good, but it's the small percentage who aren't good. Like we saw with the former Minnesota police officer in the killing of George Floyd. But that's what makes the headlines. The 99% of cops that do their jobs, and the 350 million to 500 million police encounters have with American people, with people in America on a yearly basis, and the numbers of unarmed people killed by police officers, it's not even 1%. It's not even a half of 1%. It's not even a quarter of 1%. It's literally 0.0001%, but that's what makes news. And I wish we could be perfect. There weren't bad things, mistakes, bad behavior that happens. But in every job, in every line of work, you would think most people are good, but in every line of work, there's probably a few bad apples. I know in radio, I've worked in radio most of my life, there are. I believe that we are a good country. We'll never be perfect, but what we've seen so far in the first half of the year 2020 is mind-numbing, is absolutely mind-numbing. And the polarization in Washington, D.C. and in America is at an extremely high level. It seems whatever one side says, the other side is going to say no and disagree. For instance, today in Washington, D.C., the Democrats have a bill that's going to be voted on. They want to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. But Republicans are going to say no. And then it's going to get ripped up, and that's going to be the end of that. But The House today is going to vote, yes, the Congress, to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state, but then it'll get to the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, and they're gonna say no. You know, we've had 50 states for a long time. We used to add states like people changed underwear, but we haven't added a state in a long, long time. And some want Washington, D.C. to be that state. Why? What would be different? Why should Washington, D.C. have statehood? Well, they're not represented in Congress right now, you know, because every state has Congress people and senators. Since they're not a state, they're the District of Columbia. They don't have any representation in our federal government.
Yeah, so if we need a 51st state, we have a lot of territories that we could add, you know, Guam, American Samoa, things like that.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're gonna vote on that today, but it's been a long time since we added a state, and I wonder when we're gonna do that again, if we're just happy with the number 50.
We need less states. Like maybe we should take like California, kind of push them to the side and have 49 states.
Well, Coleman, that's an interesting discussion. We don't have time for it right now, but that's what's happening today up there. Some want Washington, D.C. to be the 51st state, and then others say, no, we don't want that right now. All right, coming up on the show, next, well, we're going to get to this. A New Orleans, the the head of the New Orleans Police Union sent a letter saying that one of the New Orleans police officers got COVID-19 from working the protests. And I'm sure that stunned, that shocked the mayor of New Orleans and the lead doctor here in New Orleans, who said that the rising cases of COVID-19 have nothing to do with the protesters. The thousands of people walking around New Orleans, many without masks. How did they know that? And why are they saying that in every city? They're saying the same thing in every city. Well, now the NOPD, they want to get all their cops tested for COVID-19. That's coming up. We have a real special See Who Died this morning. A lot to do on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you watch the news, if you're wondering, geez, what's next in the year 2020? Did you see that massive cloud of dust from the Sahara Desert is closing in on the United States? And not surprisingly, Americans are now hoarding Swifters. I went to the store yesterday, Coleman. I was looking for one. They're out. It's just like whenever a big news story happens, good luck finding that what you need in the store. Coming up next on the show, a New Orleans cop tested positive for coronavirus after he was working at the protests, but the mayor and the lead doctor of New Orleans they're thinking that's impossible. There's no way that could have happened because there's no way our COVID-19 numbers are up because of protests. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station, Ozzy. And there's a rumor going around the internet that Ozzy Osbourne has been hired as Joe Biden's speech interpreter. Just a rumor. I haven't been able to confirm that one yet. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And yesterday, the leader of the New Orleans Police Officers Union, Eric Hessler, he wrote a letter and he sent it off to the powers that be saying that one of the New Orleans police officers got COVID-19, got coronavirus, a high-ranking New Orleans police officer got coronavirus from working one of the protests. And that was the letter written by the head of PANO, again, Eric Hessler. They're not naming the high-ranking New Orleans police officer, but he said he was present at numerous protests and interacted with several protesters before testing positive for the coronavirus. Now, that shouldn't be surprising to anyone, but I bet you know whose minds are blown with this news? The mayor of New Orleans, our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTax de Cantrell, along with the lead doctor, the head doctor here in the city of New Orleans, in Orleans Parish, Dr. Evagno, because they, just the other day, were talking about the rise of coronavirus cases here in the city of New Orleans, and they flat out said, oh, this isn't because of the thousands of people walking the streets of the city of New Orleans protesting recently. They said no. As a matter of fact, the doctor said we haven't cased any of the cases of coronavirus. We haven't traced any of them back to any of the protests. And I started thinking to myself, wait a minute, how do you know that? The protests were everywhere. They were in Jackson Square. They wanted to take down the Andrew Jackson statue. They were in front of City Hall, the idiot box. They were over there. They were up on the highway when they wanted to cross the Crescent City Connection Bridge. They were all over the city, and there were tons of them. And not all of them were wearing masks. So the other day, when Letaxta had her press conference, when she was upset that the number of COVID cases were rising here in New Orleans, and they specifically said this is unrelated to the protests. And they went on to blame three Newman High School graduation parties. Two of them were at restaurants here in the city. One of them was at a home on Britannia Street. And then they also blamed a party that somebody rented out an Airbnb on Barone Street. And they said they broke up that party. But they went out of their way to say the reason why there's more coronavirus cases here in New Orleans now, they went out of their way to say it's not because of the protesters. And I've seen that in city after city after city. To me, that proves politics are involved in this at some level. Because why would every city, Coleman, go out of their way, especially when you look at the cities of Houston and Los Angeles right now? Houston, they're almost out of intensive care beds in Houston. And Los Angeles, they're thinking about going back to locking people down because the cases are so high. In those two cities in particular, they had massive protests in the wake of the George Floyd killing.
It's not going to stop there. I bet you $1.25 that they're, after they do this in COVID investigation, and they're going to do the tracing of the police officer that caught it, they're going to say, oh, it wasn't because he was working a protest. It was because something he was doing off duty.
Why would they go out of their way? And not just in New Orleans. This is in cities all over the country. It's almost like a talking point.
Mm-hmm.
They're going out of their way to say that even though we have a rise in coronavirus cases, as if you watch the news, you're seeing that. It's in many places all over the country. It's unrelated to the protests. Why are they going out of their way to say that? And again, I've just brought up two huge cities, Los Angeles and Houston, where the rises have been at the highest level. They're out of any city. Those are two cities where the rises of coronavirus cases are going through the roofs. And they had literally two of the biggest protests.
They don't want to anger the protesters. That's why. If they do come out and say that, like, hey, look, protesters, I think you are responsible for the rise of the COVID-19, and it might be your fault that we might have to shut down again. If Cantrell said that out of her mouth, they would go to, they'll protest her house. You know what I'm saying? They would go out of their way. They've already shown that they don't mind taking to the streets. So if they anger them again and rise up the beehive, they'll go back out and say, well, if you think that's the case, we'll go back out and protest again and make everybody catch it.
But just in the, during this past week, you know, reading the news, just seeing how city after city after city, they're saying they have rising cases of COVID-19, but it's not related to the protests. It's incredible,
yes,
to me.
Of course it is.
How can it be?
Of course it is.
And again, not every protester was wearing a mask. Some were, but there were thousands of people walking around New Orleans. And by the way, today there's going to be a report coming out, and it's not going to look good for the New Orleans Police Department. You know, we've been under this police department here has been under a consent decree for upwards of a decade now. For the last 10 years, the federal government has been watching the New Orleans police, how it runs and things. And they've been working on a report. That report's going to come out today, and from everything I understand, it is not going to be a good day for the New Orleans police. That report is going to hammer the New Orleans Police Department with the way they have done some things.
And even worse, what's going to happen when they do test most of the police officers and more of them are positive for cases? Are they not going to be able to report the work, or are they going to be like, well, they've had it and they show symptoms, but they've been working for this long? Like,
I'm fascinated by the fact that they just keep saying the same thing, how it's, yeah, the cases are going up, oh, but it has nothing to do with the protest. Really? How do you know that? You don't know that. You're just saying that. And our mayor said it, and our lead doctor here said it a couple of days ago. And boy, just tell us the truth.
That was a good one. Tell the truth. Who does that? Tell the truth.
Man, oh man. You wonder just why people don't trust the news. You can't believe half the crap you see up there. All right. Coming up on the show, we have a very special See Who Died. One of the biggest names in the city of New Orleans passed on yesterday. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Psychologists report a sharp increase in cases of eBay addiction. Now that so many people have been stuck and cooped up at home for so long. Users of the website start out bidding casually, and before they know it, they're robbing Peter to pay Pal. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. You know, when I hear that song by the Scorpions, No One Like You, I think of the music video for that song back in the day. And one of the guys, I think he was in the band, he was the lead character in that music video, but he had forks in his eyes. That's what I remember. And it was, and then when the video, right at the end of the video, the singer, Klaus Meiner, the singer, woke up and he was in bed and he sat up in bed, turned around and lifted up the shade of the window over his bed. And he looked out the window and he was in San Francisco. There was Alcatraz Island. And basically he was dreaming about, I guess the video we just saw was a dream that the singer had. But I just remember one of the guys in the video, he had forks in his eyes. And that's such a good song. Why is that what I think about when I hear that song? Forks in his eyes. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Good morning. You see who died? One of the biggest names in the city of New Orleans, Mr. Mardi Gras. Blaine Kern Sr. died yesterday. He was 93 years old, and the man, he was the founder of a float building empire. I mean, in a city that, when you think New Orleans, it's either the first or second thing you think of. Is Mardi Gras, right?
Yes.
I think people getting shots up there, but it's a little bit lower down the list. Mardi Gras is probably the first or second thing when people hear New Orleans, Mardi Gras. And he's the only guy that's ever been called Mr. Mardi Gras. He's recognized as one of the most important figures in the 20th century of Mardi Gras here in New Orleans.
Hell yeah. Do you know how much I love Mardi Gras, right? So this takes a toll on me. You know, they call him Mr. Mardi Gras, and they call me Mr. Bourbon Street. And Mardi Gras is the only, Fat Tuesday is the only holiday I really celebrate.
Coleman, he played a pivotal role in Mardi Gras, New Orleans Carnival. For more than 65 years, he grew up in Algiers.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was a handyman. He built some things. And his father was the one who helped build the Mardi Gras float for somebody back in the day. And that's when he got interested in it. He went off into the United States Army to fight in World War II. And when he came back, he just loved, you know, he remembered helping his father build a Mardi Gras float because his father was helping somebody, some riders. And the next thing you know, he just started, he got into it. And he traveled the world to learn different things about how to build Mardi Gras floats, what they can add on to Mardi Gras floats. And he founded Blaine Kern Artists in 1947.
Wow.
When he came back from World War II. That is now known as Kern Studios. And that's right on the river, right next to the Montreal Convention Center.
One of my favorite field trips that we took when I was in elementary school was going to Blaine Kern Studios right there on the levee. And that was just, it was awesome.
Well, and this guy designed and built parades and designed and built parade floats. The best known, the parades and that he built were Rex, that he helped take to another level, Rex, Zulu, Bacchus, Endymion, Orpheus, Muses. It was the Rex people that gave him the title Mr. Mardi Gras in 1988. So in 1987, and for 40 years from 1947 until 1987, he wasn't known as Mr. Mardi Gras, even though he was so important to building up parade floats. But it was in 1988 where they said, okay, you are Mr. Mardi Gras, Blaine Kern. And he made it to 93.
And that's pretty damn good.
I had met him a couple of times. I had him on my radio show. And just, he's one of those guys. I mean, not only did I think he was a real nice guy, but I know a few people that worked for him and that worked with him. And I knew people that have known him for years. He's one of those guys where I've never heard anybody who knows him say anything negative about. He's one of those guys. And his wife of the last 18 years is about 50 years younger than him. Her name is Holly.
And she's
a babe. And every time I talked to Blaine, every time Blaine was on my show, and every time I've seen Blaine out in the street or whatever, she was always right by his side. And it's not very often when a 93-year-old guy dies that you could say, his wife is hot. I mean, his wife, I mean, right now, I'm not saying was hot. I mean, he's 93, he just died, and his wife is smoking hot. How many 93-year-old guys can you say that about?
Not too many.
So, we've got a story about him and a bunch of his history. It's on our Facebook page right now if you want to read more. But Blaine Kern, Mr. Mardi Gras. And by the way, his over on Facebook, his wife, Holly, the hottie, said that he died peacefully at home with her and family. And he's got a bunch of sons. And they will hopefully continue on running Blaine Kern Studios and the whole operation there like he did. But Blaine Kern, Mr. Mardi Gras, for over pivotal in Mardi Gras for over 65 years, dead at the age of 93. RIP, Mr. Mardi Gras, Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. So a golden retriever in Tennessee recently turned 20 years old, and that golden retriever is now the oldest living golden retriever in history. I don't know how they know that, but they do know that August, or Augie as she's called, a girl dog named, or a female dog named August. Well, Augie, and they say what, dog years is every 7 years, right?
Yeah, 7 years. 1 year, one human year, 7 dog years.
So this dog is basically 140 years old.
Sure, yeah.
Augie, the golden retriever in Tennessee. And I want to find out how they know that that is the oldest living golden retriever in history. How do they? Just like I wondered how the mayor of New Orleans and the lead doctor in New Orleans knew that the rise of COVID cases in New Orleans had nothing to do with the thousands of protesters walking the streets.
Yeah, there's probably some stray golden retriever in New York street somewhere that's been there for 30 years behind a dumpster.
Well, there's some good news. So happy 20th birthday to Augie, the Tennessee dog, the golden retriever, who is the oldest in history, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And yesterday, the guidelines to reopening Louisiana's schools were announced. The Louisiana Department of Education released the new guidelines yesterday for reopening the public schools during this whole coronavirus pandemic. And it's going to be like they're doing it like other things are opening around here. Like, look, whether it's in the city of New Orleans or in St. Tammany Parish, I know on the North Shore, there were some restaurants and bars that opened up and they were open for a couple of days and then they closed again because one or two or three of their employees tested positive for coronavirus. I know a bar right near the radio station here, Lucy's, the retired surfers bar, a bar that we always like, Coleman. They were open for a couple of days and then they shut down again and they're going to wait it out for 2 weeks. And I see a few places in St. Tammany Parish that are like that as well. They're taking full precaution. And the NFL announced that it's going to be up to each city to decide if fans are going to be allowed to go to the games. They plan on playing the games and they may... And it's going to be up to, like, for instance, here in New Orleans, it's going to be up to our mayor.
Oh, boy.
Letaxa Cantrell. And you know she's not going to let fans go into the Saints games because she already said she doesn't want any large gatherings for the rest of the calendar year of 2020.
And she's on the record of saying she would have shut down Mardi Gras had she had gotten word earlier from the feds.
So it's going to be, in the NFL, again, they plan on playing. They want to play. And they're taking all kinds of precautions, but they left it up to each city where the teams play, up to the leadership in that city. And they did say, the NFL yesterday, that the first 8 rows of every stadium, all around the stadium, nobody's going to be sitting in them. If there are fans at the games, they're going to cover them up to keep the players, the coaches, the training staffs, the officials, everybody who's on the field, they want to keep them safe from COVID-19. And they said that those covered front 8 rows in every stadium will now be open for advertising. So businesses can advertise there, and you'll be able to see that while you're watching the game.
Cha-ching!
Don't ask me what they're going to do with the fans who have tickets in those first 8 rows. Because I know some fans that have tickets for the Saints in the 9th row, in the 10th row, they're like, wow, all of a sudden, look at us. I don't know what's going to happen there. But when it comes to the schools here in the state of Louisiana, they're calling this program Strong Start 2020. The guidelines are structured in 3 phases. Again, much like everything else, they're going to limit the groups of students once schools do open in August here in Louisiana. They're going to limit the groups of students in classrooms to either 10, 25, or 50 students, depending on what phase the state is in. The guidelines suggest everybody in every school wash their hands every 2 hours. Everyone in grades 3 and up is required to wear a face covering while inside, including in the classroom. So now all of the students and the teachers as well, they're all going to have masks on.
I don't think that's healthy. You know, the kids sit in class for about, what, 4 hours and have a break and sit in the class for another 3 hours and have to sit there the entire time with something restricting their breathing, and they don't have fully developed lungs like adults. I don't see that working out.
Yeah, that's a good question, Coleman. I mean, there's a lot of people. There are mask wearers, and then there are people that don't want to wear masks, and they're getting shamed by the people who do wear masks. How dare you? Well, and meanwhile, do they really? They're telling us, we've heard, that wear your mask and it'll cut down on the spread. That's what they tell us. But having kids, students, children above third grade sitting in classrooms all day with masks on, is that?
No. And then you have to consider, you know, kids, they like to fidget, so the mask is uncomfortable to go to touching their face and it's to readjust it. And shortness of breath, like I said, I have trouble breathing with the mask that I have to wear to work.
Every day, schools should plan to screen students with temperature checks and establish an area to isolate students with any symptoms. If any student or staff member tests positive for COVID-19, they should remain home until they are no longer infectious. Anyone who has been in close contact with them would have to stay home for 2 weeks. Schools would need to inform faculty, students, and parents about any positive case. School would be required to conduct a deep clean, and these are the plans for when schools open up in Louisiana in August. And it's pretty much like everything else. I mean, we're being told what to do, and this is what they plan on doing, so parents can try to prepare. Because the end of last school year was a nightmare for a bunch of parents. So that's the plan right now. And like everything else, restaurants, businesses, football stadiums, like everything else, I guess we're going day by day to figure out what the next move is. But yeah, coronavirus cases are going up. Again, even though they don't want to admit it, there were protests in so many of these cities where they're seeing spikes now, especially Houston and Los Angeles. And it's amazing how they're all telling us, including our mayor and our lead doctor, unrelated, the spike in COVID cases to the protests. How do they know that?
Yep, the cases are going up, but you know it's not?
Deaths.
The deaths are diminishing.
So let's stay tuned here. Coming up on the show, we got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Rolling Stones there. And I was just reading, new research shows that Earth was warmer during medieval times. And the findings are based on interviews with the Rolling Stones. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all day. And since today is Friday, it's the dumbest thing I read all week. Sex addict claims hot female gamers caused him to injure his penis. This is a lawsuit that's going on right now out in California. Well, excessive gaming is known to damage your joystick.
Penis.
A California sex addict is suing the video streaming platform Twitch.
Yeah.
For $25 million after claiming that the site's overabundance of scantily clad female gamers have caused him to injure his penis.
A man sues claiming a Gretna police dog bit off his man stuff. Johnson.
This lawsuit
junk.
Is happening in Santa Clara County, California. The lawsuit is filed by sex addict Eric Estavilla.
You idiot!
And he claims that Twitch, which is a subsidiary of Amazon, had subjected him to overly suggestive and sexual content from various female streamers. One of the female streamers, evidently there's several very attractive, scantily clad women who go online and they play video games, and I guess they have huge followings from guys that just do things like this. They just play video games, they get excited, they watch them, and they go, gah, gah.
So you're not, you've never seen Twitch? You're not a gamer like I am.
No, I stopped playing video games a few years ago, Coleman, but I'm thinking about starting again.
It's a scam. So what these women do is they set up a live stream on Twitch, and they have an account that you can pay for, and they pretend to play video games, where they wear like scantily clad outfits, or they dress up as video game characters, and they just sit there and look cute, when in actuality, some guy's actually playing a video game. They're just holding a joystick pretending, and they're just getting money just having their cleavage out, and it's pretty addictive.
Well, he named Jade the Jaguar in his lawsuit, and she's very attractive.
Yes, she is.
But he said that these women are so hot, and the fact that he is a sex addict, he would pleasure himself watching these women, the salacious gamers, and it physically injured his penis. That chafing, and I mean, he did it so much that he was suffering extreme pain, and he had to go to the hospital. I'm sure the doctors just told him, dude, stop, you know, pleasuring yourself while you're playing video games watching these women. And I guess he's unable to block out the women because he's a sex addict, and he has a... I think this whole thing is ridiculous, to be honest with you. And this isn't the first frivolous lawsuit that this guy is... filed. He has sued several other companies unsuccessfully in the past, including Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, Blizzard Entertainment. But he hasn't won. But he's looking for $25 million here. He reportedly follows 786 female gamers, and he follows zero male gamers.
Of course.
Of course, because these are all hot women, and he is a... he's a sex addict.
See, I see through his plan, though. What he's trying to do is he's tired of pleasuring himself, so he's trying to win a major lawsuit so he could just pay for it.
He said one time he got so excited that it messed up his PC monitor. The result of him getting so excited did. And it caused his gaming system to short circuit and resulted in a fire that temporarily caused his apartment to black out.
He was going at it pretty...
Yeah, he was... gah, 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 gah. So this lawsuit will probably be thrown out. He needs to get his sex addiction under control instead of being on the computer following these very attractive female gamers while he's playing video games.
I'm surprised he has enough money to pay his electricity bill just so he can continue his habit. You know, a guy like that seems like he stays in the house and doesn't go anywhere or do anything else.
Well, Coleman... the loser who's suing for $25 million because he's a sex addict and he claims that hot female gamers caused him to injure his penis. I think that's a lawsuit that Twitch and the company that owns them, Amazon, isn't really going to have to worry about. Pretty frivolous. That's the dumbest thing I read all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Hey, this week someone was over in Scotland and took a picture, and they think it might be the first new photo of the Loch Ness Monster. Nessie. I mean, there's pretty much only been one photo ever, and all of a sudden, someone snapped a photo, and they think that might be it. So that means maybe we're due for a second Bigfoot photo, because out of the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, they each only had pretty much one photo of them.
I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. I was skinny dipping in Lake Loch Ness last weekend, and That's what happened.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Well, check for yourself and see if you think it's Nessie or not. We have that photo on our website at Bayou957.com. It's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.